Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, so welcome to Think Big. Our guest today is AJ Chandran. Did I pronounce that correctly? AJ, please tell us where you are geographically in the world and what you do for a living.
I'm in Atlanta, and currently I'm a consultant, fractional CCO advisor to young companies.
That's awesome. So how did you get started in this space? Do you have a background in this kind of consulting? What kind of background led you to eventually starting this company?
This is my first time being a consultant. I've been working now for the last 35 years in various industries. My career started off in textiles and fashion, and then eventually I gravitated towards food ingredients. And the last few stints have been in the biotech industry, but focused around food. And in my experience of having built commercial strategies and commercial teams and go-to-market approaches, what I've found over a period of time is, the early stage companies have got phenomenal energy and technology and innovation, but they lack in the go-to-market strategies. And I saw a gap in the market, and I said, I've seen too many times that these companies have got most things right, but have failed on the commercial go-to-market approaches. And I said, I'll step in and kind of provide value and service to these kinds of companies and make sure that they are sustainably run in the long term.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so when did you start with this consulting business exactly?
I started off only last year, in August of last year.
Very cool. So from kind of like a marketing perspective, like what kind of, techniques and things are you employing, to market yourself to prospective clients for yourself? What's been working for you since the inception of the business? Sounds like you've been successful. It sounds like you have a pretty good number of clients since you're still going. So, what have you kind of been employing to generate revenue for yourself and new clients?
Yeah, I have been using the old and tried method, which is really leaning into my network and targeting folks that are that I've identified in the past have not done I have really challenges around go-to-market. So for me, it's about leaning into my network a lot more than doing mass-scale advertisement campaigns. The other thing that I focus on a lot is being in trade shows and seminars and conferences and network and engage with folks in the industry there. For me, mine's a pretty focused network. I mean, focused a niche in the food tech and the food ingredients and the biotech world. And so it's fairly easy for me to get to those seminars and conferences that really matter, where I have key decision makers attending so that I could engage with them on a one-to-one basis. Obviously, with any of these conversations, you've got to do some preliminary research and organize your thoughts and your pitches, right? I mean, you want to be with those clients and those companies that really have a need and where you can provide value. So that's how I've been approaching my marketing.
That's awesome. So pretty grassroots then, just already existing kind of networking.
Yeah.
Doing some organic things in person, trade shows and things of that nature.
Yeah, this is primarily because where I am in the stage, right? I mean, I'm still myself a young company, a startup. And so what I'm looking for are interesting projects and interesting clients where I can provide value, right? And so I'm not looking for 100 clients at this stage. I'm looking for a few select clients. And then as I build my business, obviously I'll get into a little more of a beyond the grassroots campaign approach.
That's awesome, man. So just curious, don't need to name names or anything, but just curious, since you started last August, you said, how many clients are you currently working with? And what's the most you've had at once since you started?
Yeah, at any given point in time, I don't take more than 3 clients, because it just gets a little too unwieldy. Mm-hmm. For me, I need to focus on quality, ensure that I can provide value. In some of these cases, I'm actually rolling up my sleeves and working as a fractional CCO, so it gets pretty intense.
Yeah.
And in other cases, it's really around advising the CEO and the founder or the C-suite executive as to what the approaches should be. So that's a little less intense, but still, you know, you're still engaged and working very closely with the client.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you never know. Once you get into these relationships, you know, once you find out how much you can actually help as a consultant, you know, they might ask you to take some more on your plate and you hate to say no. So you don't want to, you know, bog yourself down doing like little pieces for five clients. You'd rather be, you know, fully available for the two or three that you have, right?
Exactly. And some of these cases, I mean, it just doesn't work, right? So it's always good to kind of have multiple engagements going on, but you also don't want to take too much, but you also don't want to take too few. And so it's a fine balance because sometimes, you know, the relationship doesn't work or the project doesn't work out the way you're thinking that you can add value. And then you just roll off, right? So so that frees in a slot for someone else to kind of jump in.
That's interesting. So like, what kind of things would you say you employ, you know, when you have a prospective client that maybe you're meeting for the first or second time trying to decide if, you know, it's going to be a good relationship? What are kind of the things that you look for as far as like, you know, just like green flags or qualifiers to, you know, that a potential client as in a company or, you know, maybe a specific CEO, like what are the kinds of things you look for, you know, to give you confidence that, you know, it's the kind of relationship that's going to work?
Yeah. You know, as I said, I do work with, you know, early stage companies. So this could be from startup seed all the way up to Series A, Series B, Series C companies. So these are not large, gigantic organizations. I'm having the relationship directly with the CEO or the founder in many cases. And so for me, you know, before I even have those initial conversations, I have an understanding of what the person's reputation is in the market. I've had some discussions around the site. I have done my research to understand if that's the kind of client I want to work with or work for, or understand what their gap is in the strategy. So I do my research before I go in to understand that, you know, number one, the client is appropriate, you know, appropriately challenged so that I can provide some value. Or, you know, if, you know, the client is looking for someone to come in from external, right? So, and then I make those calls, right? I directly get engaged with the CEO or the on the C executive level and have those conversations. So for me, the red flags are usually the, you know, some executives are humble and willing to learn and perhaps appreciate the fact that they don't know everything, right? So there are a lot of technocrats who are founding these companies, and it's a wow for me if I see that the executives understand and appreciate that there's more that they could do, but they don't have the expertise and are willing to reach out, or, you know, to an external agency or a person like me. And those conversations, I mean, initial conversations really laid out pretty quickly that this is a company or this is a founder that's open to advice, right? And for me, that then sets the foundation for discussions around strategy, you know, where the pain points are, where the opportunities are, you know, what have they done so far, and what's worked and what has not worked. And then, you know, really get into an advisory consulting role, unless they ask me to kind of do it all, right, which is when I get into the practice, yeah. CCO kind of role. The red flags for me, I think, are as much as the green flags, right? The one that I mentioned, the founder, the CEO, the attitude, I think is very important. The other aspect is also being transparent and open as to, you know, where they are in this journey, right? And what the infrastructure looks like, and what they have decided, what have they said that has worked in the past and what has not worked in the past. So that transparency of communication, the attitude of the founder, and then, you know, the other aspect, I would be very frank, is, you know, what's the funding like? I'm working with very young companies where, you know, they may sometimes be challenged from a funding standpoint, right? And can they do all that they're expecting, or should we really ensure that the strategy is appropriate for the funding funding ramp that they have, right? So that's, again, comes to transparency and being open and communicative as to where the challenges and opportunities are. So for me, those are the main criteria that I look at. The other aspect that I come in is I don't even have conversations if I don't believe that I can provide value. If I don't have the industry expertise, knowledge, I cannot open the doors that they're looking for. in order for them to be successful. So that's selected on my end, self-criteria selected on my end. But then when I have these discussions, I want to make sure that the CEO and the company is open to kind of having conversations in a deep and transparent manner so that I can help solve the challenges.
Right. Yeah. It's important to be very diligent when you're, you know, working as a consultant, because especially a newer consultant, because your reputation is everything. And you know, if you end up taking on maybe clients that, like, you know, just because you need clients, maybe, you know, it's not the best fit, but you think you can make it work, it might not work out, or the relationship just might not be a good fit for reasons other than your lack of expertise, or, you know, there could be a million reasons why. So, you know, you don't want to end up in a situation where, you know, your first five clients didn't work out for reasons outside of that. It wasn't that you didn't have the expertise, or, you know, your advice wasn't there, but, you know, if somebody that you're partnering with doesn't have the capital to, you know, front the ideas that you're trying to put in place for them as a consultant, that's obviously not going to work. Or if somebody is not, you know, forthright or honest with you about, you know, things that are going on in the business and what they want, you know, that's obviously not going to work either. So it's good that you're, you know, so diligent on the front end of these relationships. I think a lot of people doing agency work kind of go wrong in that regard, especially in the early stages where they're just looking for any clients they can get. And the relationships sometimes just, you know, aren't there. And if you were a little bit more diligent, you might have realized it beforehand rather than after the fact. So that's great. And so curious, like, you know, obviously very new agency. Sounds like you've had some success. So where do you see the big picture of, you know, maybe 5 years from now? Do you see, you know, where do you see the future of this consulting agency going? Do you see yourself growing with hiring new consultants with a larger group? What's your kind of big idea for, you know, the future of this company in an ideal world down the line?
Yeah, I mean, let me start off by saying that I got into this consulting business primarily because there were a couple of things, right? One was there was a change in my previous employment, and then there were some challenges around family that I needed to kind of take care of. So that's kind of led me into this, you know, into this business. So it was not something that I planned and thought of and saying, hey, you know what, this is what I want to do for years. It's something that I kind of walked into, especially as I started to reflect. You know, obviously, I had the conditions, you know, but that forced me to kind of reflect and say, okay, where can I provide value, right? And where I could balance my work and family life and continue to grow as a professional, right, in this area. So for me, that's how I walked into. So I believe in planning, but I also believe that sometimes things happen and then you walk in and you give it your best. So for me right now, as I think about where this business could go, I could see you know, a team of folks, you know, as part of the consulting organization that are really trying to solve challenges in our currently pretty archaic food system, introducing innovation where, you know, innovation is really looked on by the industry, you know, with a little skepticism because, you know, you're trying to introduce, you know, biotech and, you know, all these scary names like CRISPR and gene editing and modification. And so I think there's a lot to be done here. I've had the good fortune of working with companies that have pioneered this and tried to address concerns upfront for consumers, CPG companies, as well as the supply chain and the ecosystem, including farmers. And so for me, I can really see that there is a dearth of lack of, you know, service that is out there that that can help companies navigate through this. So I, you know, as more of Silicon Valley and more of Boston gets into the food system, and I mentioned these two clusters primarily because they are great hubs for biotech, you know, and get into what I call the heart of the country, which is really the Midwest, where the food basket is. I think there's tremendous opportunity for either companies to kind of make those transitions on their own, but use a service like ours to kind of accelerate the path, right, to adoption of innovation. And I see the changes. I mean, 4 years back, 5 years back, the industry was much more conservative. I think there's a lot more openness now to innovation, ingredients that are made to precision fermentation and other biotech techniques. And I believe that if, as an industry, we are trying to solve for sustainability, performance, and efficiency and scale of supply chain, I think these techniques would become more, can be a big aid. And I see a service like ours really scaling up because we've not even touched the tip of the iceberg here, because there's so many different ingredients that are threatened due to biodiversity and that are not being produced, you know, because of climate change. You know, we have heard about cocoa prices going through the roof, primarily because, you know, there are regions that are suffering from or being able to scale it at the right time and the right price. And so there's tremendous opportunity for an organization like ours or many other organizations like ours that can provide that consulting advisory service. And there are phenomenal experts in the industry that either we can tap onto or we can compete with, because it just requires a change in mindset of existing folks in the industry to kind of adopt some of these new technologies. So I'm super excited. So 5 years down the line, who knows, we may have several tens of consultants.
Yep.
And, you know, I can see this being a robust business, but more than anything else, we will be able to bridge performance, sustainability, and scale all together as the industry, you know, gets into the new age, right? The AI age, so to speak.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And you know, I think that's a really healthy perspective that you have with your company being so new. It's just maintaining focus on, you know, what you're working on in the present and the clients that you do have. I think some entrepreneurs can become a little bit paralyzed with their big picture or their 5 or 10 year plan at the really early stages, and can sometimes get discouraged when, you know, they have a hard time finding the next step towards their like ultimate goal, and kind of lose sight of, you know, what's going on in the present, when there's so much on the plate and so many things left to do to get to that big goal 5 to 10 years down the road. So I think your perspective with your business is actually extremely healthy. And you obviously can see that there's opportunity here. But I think in some ways, you know, you're just right. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, do the best you can with the clients that you have when you're this new, and you know, just see how things transpire over time and make your decisions as they come to you. I think it's really healthy. So that's awesome, man. And one question I always love to ask, as a newer business, as new as yours, even in the short time you've been up since last August, I'm sure there's something, you know, if you could go back to the day one of starting your agency, everything that you've learned, you know, even in less than a year, if you could give one piece of advice to yourself, you know, making the decision to start that agency when you did, what would that one piece of advice be to yourself back in last August?
Oh, let's say, I would say to myself to just jump in, right, and not be scared of you know, when you start at when you jump in from a, you know, someone like me who has been in employment for many years, when you jump in from that situation to starting your own venture, I think there's going to be some trepidation, right? And there's going to be some concern, especially when you have a family to feed and you know, you wonder around what, you know what if things don't work out? What if, right? What if this happens? What if that happens? I think there's too many what ifs. And I would, you know, the fact that I've done this tells anyone that, right, I'm a little more entrepreneurial than the average person. But even with that, I would say there are all these, you know, thoughts that come to your mind. And I think in some ways it's just to say, you know what, things are gonna be the way they are, and when you jump in full, right? And so don't be scared. That's what I would tell myself.
Yeah. Well, I think if there's any, you know, any younger, newer entrepreneurs listening, I think, you know, can appreciate that advice, and I think should heed to that. And it's something I've heard on not many other podcasts too, with, you know, businesses and entrepreneurs that are, you know, as new in their maybe newest venture, or in general, you know, starting their own business for the first time. It's actually one of the most common responses I get to that question. So you're definitely not alone, I would say, in feeling that way. And I think it's tremendous advice. And you know, it's a sentiment I think a lot of people can get behind, if any younger entrepreneurs or younger folks listening. So appreciate that.
Great. I'm glad I'm not alone.
You did definitely not. Definitely not. Well, hey, man, listen, I really appreciate you hopping on the call today. Just want to ask, you know, if somebody's watching this, wants to get in touch with you, maybe, you know, potentially thinking about working with you after hearing this conversation, is there any socials or, you know, any links or LinkedIn or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I can attach it to and send it across to you. There's LinkedIn. They can look me up. My name is AJ Chandran, spelled AJAY, last name Chandran. The company I founded is Global Food Tech Consulting, Strategy Consulting LLC. So they can look me up that way too.
Awesome, man. It's fantastic. Well, I really appreciate the conversation. Very much enjoyed it. And we'll be in touch. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Pleasure.
you, AJ.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
See ya.